The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Longevity, good health, prescription for good health and longevity. Every child of God has an heritage of good health and longevity. I want you to know that you have an heritage. It is your heritage. It is my heritage. In the book of John chapter 3 verse 2, a very popular verse, John chapter 3 verse 2, there's a saying there, that the word of God says something powerful there. It said, I wish above all things that thou do what? That thou be in what? In health. John, 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that thou mayest prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospereth, even as thy soul prospereth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Praise the Lord. It is the desire of the Lord for you and I to enjoy good health, sound health, sound health. And I tell you, without sound health, you cannot enjoy longevity. You can't live long. You can't live fullness of life if you don't have good health. Praise the Lord. If you don't have good health, you cannot live a life that is fulfilled. And the price for good health has been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. The price for good health has been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus paid for it in full. He paid for sound health for us in full. You know why? Because sound health is important to God. It's important that he loves that we be in health. Because it is when we are in health that we can serve him. It is when we are in health that we can do that which pleases him. And that is why he said, I wish above all things that thou do what? Prosper it. I wish above all that you do what? Thou mayest prosper and be in health. It is the plan of God for you and I to be in health. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden at the beginning, the Bible says everything that God created was what was good. In other words, everything was in perfect health. There was nothing that was deformed. There was nothing that was malfunctioning. Everything was functioning perfectly. And God looked at it and said, yes, everything was good. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3, Psalm 103, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the name, bless the holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, if you look at this, he said, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That is, he heals. That is, it's a continuous thing. It's not something that is done in the past, then stop. Then it's not, it's still continuing. In other words, there is no disease or sicknesses that you have dominion over you and I. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing, there was no disease or sickness found in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, who has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, carries in our body the DNA of Christ. We carry Jesus' DNA. You are looking at me. You are surprised. You don't know. You carry the gene of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. The Bible said, to as many that believeth in him, to them has he given the power to become what? Sons of God. So if Jesus is the sons of is the Son of God, and he has given unto us the power to become sons of God, my son and myself and his siblings, we carry the same gene. In other words, the gene of the Father is in Jesus. And if we are sons and daughters of God with Jesus, it means we also carry the DNA of God in us. Praise the Lord. And that is why all our fathers in faith, they enjoy good health and longevity. None of them suffer ailment. The Bible did not record that any one of them was under any bondage of any sickness whatsoever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Abraham was healthy even at age 175. He died at 175 years old, You can imagine somebody at over 100 fathering a child. Isaac was born when Abraham was over 100. Praise the Lord. It shows that this man is still strong at 175. If this man could still decide what to do. Praise the Lord. He enjoyed absolute health. Isaac was healthy even at 180. 180 years. Isaac was super healthy. He could still do a lot of things at 180. What about Moses? The Bible talks about Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 7. That Moses, even at 120, at 120 years old, when he died, his eyes was not dim, neither was his natural force abated. In other words, his strength when he was 30 years old was still the same strength at 120. Praise the Lord. That is, at 120, he could still do what any young man could do. That is the kind of life, that is the kind of way God wants us to live our life. God wants us to enjoy absolute health, perfect health, absolute health, and to live long. Like I said earlier, longevity is not possible if you are not living in divine health. It is the fact that you have health that will make you live long. I don't know if you are getting it. I don't know if you have seen people that are sick and because of their sickness, they wish to die. I don't know if you have seen it before. Because they were sick, they wish that because of the pain, they want to go. You know why? Because their health cannot sustain their soul any longer. The body has become so weak that it cannot keep going. And they want to just give up. But God has not promised you and I disease or illness. He has promised us absolute health. I believe in divine healing. But I believe divine health is superior to divine healing. And that is why each and every one of us must understand this evening that God did not want you and I to be carrier of any disease whatsoever. God wants us to enjoy absolute health, and to live a fulfilled life. To assess a healthy life, we need a healthy lifestyle. And we need to make certain things possible for us to enjoy fullness of health. And I want you to know, for everything in life, there are prescriptions. For everything in life, there are prescriptions. What are prescriptions? Prescriptions are like guide. They are like things that you need to do for you to enjoy certain things. If you go to the clinic, the medical practitioners will examine, and after examining, they will make some prescriptions. They can prescribe a change in your diet. They may not necessarily, in fact, these days, they are advocating less of drugs and more of diet. They can prescribe to you that change your diet. They can prescribe to you to change your lifestyle. Change your lifestyle. So that you can live a good life and you can live a healthy life. They can prescribe to you to do more exercise. And they can prescribe drugs as well. So we have prescription. But I tell you, the prescription we want to talk about tonight is not just prescription that medical practitioner gives. We want to talk about the supernatural prescription that supersedes the prescriptions of the medical practitioners. As good, as wonderful as the medical people are, excellent people, people that pay a lot of sacrifice to make other people good, I tell you, their knowledge is limited. Hello? The medical knowledge is limited. The medical knowledge has not fully examined or decoded completely the human body. They've not done that. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, we have a Father who knows you from beginning to the end. You can imagine, he numbers the hairs on your head. He said, not even one will fall to the ground without him knowing. Maybe you didn't understand that. What it means is that it is not that when one hair falls, he knows that one has fallen. He can say, hair number 625 has just fallen off. Praise the Lord. Hair number 1022 has just fallen off. He can say, ear number 1, 2, 3 is going gray. Praise the Lord. God is that much interested in your body. He knows every bit. He knows every bit. And you know why? Because he formed you. and informed me. So because of that, he has absolute knowledge of who we are. And if the person that makes something is telling you this is how to go about it, brother, you better go about it that way. So we'll be examining the prescription from God for us to live a healthy life, for us to live a life that is full of His glory. But before we do that, I want to look at what is a lifestyle. A lifestyle is a day-to-day behavioral pattern or conduct that affects a person's life either positively or negatively. A lifestyle is a day-to-day behavioral pattern or conduct which affects a person's life either positively or negatively. Your lifestyle can affect your life either positively or negatively. Not only your lifestyle also affects the life of others. And your lifestyle also affects your destiny. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is why we are encouraged to live a godly lifestyle. You know, if you live a godly lifestyle, you are living after the precept of the Creator. If I have a car, and the manual says, after every 3,000 kilometers, I need to take the car for service. Drain the oil, change the oil filter, change some things, and put it back. Put fresh ones. And I decided that, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to run the car to 30,000 kilometers before I do what I'm supposed to do at 3,000 kilometers. Of course, the car may still be working, but I tell you, that car will not last as long as it's supposed to be. If the car is supposed to last for 5 years, by 3 years, the car will start giving issues. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with us. When we live our life, if I drive the car recklessly, I see a pothole, then I'm running into it at 120. I say, the suspension is good. Of course, the suspension will balance it out. But the efficiency and the efficacy of that suspension will be reduced gradually. Maybe it's at 99% when I get the car out of, let's say, Koscharis, maybe BMW 5 Series. 7 Series. Thank you, man. 7 Series. Higher version. You know, there is lower version, there is higher version. Full option. Then I'm driving, and I said, this is a machine. This is machine. Then I decide to run into a ditch that is like 3 feet deep at 120. The car may survive the crash because of the way it has been made. But I tell you, the efficiency of that car will reduce. That another time I saw another ditch, I entered into it, boom. This car is a machine. The efficiency is reducing. Then another time I see one truck that is looking like they took nails all over the body. Then I went near and scratched the car. And I said, the car is perfect. It's reducing. One day, I will own the same car, the thing will refuse to answer. You know why? Because I've battered it. So when you live a reckless lifestyle, you are kind of diminishing the efficiency and the performance of your body system. And we'll be looking at prescriptions on how to live a healthy life and to obtain longevity. Brethren, I tell you, you and I are not supposed to die at 70. It's David that said 70. God did not prescribe 70. It's as long as you wish to live. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. As long as you wish to live. If Father Abraham lived 175, who says you can't live that if you wish? Today we have people that are living 130, 120. I know a man that lived 103 before he died. And at 100, this same man could still climb staircase without aid. No aid, no support. He could climb staircase. At 100, this man still read his Bible without glasses. Yeah. 100, without glasses. Pick his Bible and read and explain the Bible perfectly to you. At 100. 101, 102, the thing was not that good again. And when it was time, the man said, now I want to go. And he died peacefully. That is the kind of life that God wants us to live. Not that at 65, you are shaking like jellyfish. shaky. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. You see, some people, they are 45 years old and they are looking as if they are 60 years old. That is not the kind of life God wants us to have. What are the prescriptions? Number one, a life of faith. A life of faith, prescriptions for good health and longevity. A life of faith gives you access to health and longevity. A life of faith. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 27 to 30, the Bible talks about the story of two blind men who saw, who they couldn't see, but they heard that Jesus was passing. And when go back to 27, please, 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." My question is this: how did they know that it is Jesus? How did they know? They perceived. They could sense it. They could hear. Let's continue. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him. They still followed him. And Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Now, verse 29 is where I love most. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." He didn't say, "Because I'm the Son of God, I carry the power of God, then receive your sight." No. He said, "According to your faith." In other words, if at that particular moment, any one of them doubted the power and the ability of Jesus to heal them, that person will not receive the health, will not receive the healing. Praise the Lord. So as he touched their eyes, he said, "Be unto you according to your faith." And the Bible said in verse 30, immediately their eyes pop open, and they could see. Praise the Lord. Your faith will give you access to operate in absolute health. Brethren, in the book of Mark, chapter 2, if you look at Mark chapter 2, there's a story of a man there who was paralytic. And when Jesus entered, it's a long story from verse 1, Capernaum, down like that. This man was paralytic, and his friend, his four friends, carried him. And they wanted to enter, but they could not get him to Jesus. In verse 4, they could not get him because the crowd was much. And because the crowd was much, they climbed the roof. And they broke the ceiling, the roof, the ceiling. There must be the roof, then the ceiling. They broke through the whole, the tube. And they let him down. They let him down. And when they let him down, Jesus Christ looked at him. And Jesus Christ had compassion on him. And he healed him. And he said unto him in verse 11, he said unto you, "Arise, take up your what? Your bed," in verse 11, "and go to your house." And immediately he rose and took up his bed and went working. He became healed. He regained his health. And vitality came into his body. Praise the Lord. Paralytic means somebody that could not even sit down. Not somebody that couldn't walk. Somebody who couldn't even sit down. Somebody who cannot even move his leg or his arm or his anything. He's just lying there like that, like a log of wood. That's where he poo-poo, that's where he wee-wee, that's where he eats, that's where he drinks. He's just there like vegetable. That's the situation of that man. But the faith of his four friends, coupled with his own faith, you can imagine they want to enter, they could not enter. You know what rigors they would have passed through to open the roof. They must have believed that in as much as Jesus can see him, he will be healed. Brethren, I want you to know that your faith can move mountain. There is no condition that faith cannot work on. There is no helmet that your faith cannot heal. When faith is present, God is present. But when faith is absent, God is absent. And there is nothing that can be done. Even when you take drugs, it takes faith. You are sick. Then you've gone to the hospital. The doctor has said, "Go and take aspirin," or "Go and take paracetamol," or "Go and take metronidazole." You are poo-pooing. You are poo-pooing, and they say, go and take metronidazole. Now, if you take the metronidazole and you believe that the metronidazole will not work, it will work. It will not work. You take the drug, but you believe that this drug, it won't work. It won't work. If they give you chalk, it's not metronidazole. They colored it. You know, metronidazole is most often colored with tartrazine yellow, and they make it colored so that you can like it because the thing is bitter. So when you take it, you have faith that if I take this thing, I will be healed. Then the thing will work. Take the best of the best. Eh? And you don't believe it will work. It won't work. That's the truth. Because it's your faith. It's because you believe that when you take it, it will work. That's when it works. Praise the Lord. You know, some of these things are beyond science. But that is just it. So, even when you take drugs, you must have faith. And that's why the doctors themselves will say, we only care, but it's God that heals. We only care. Like I said when I started, I said the medical knowledge is limited, but God is unlimited. God is infinite. The medical profession has a finite. It ends somewhere. But God is what? Infinite. And I pray that the work of faith will perfect your healing in the name of Jesus. If you have faith that you will live in abundant health and you will live a long life, you will live a long life. You will live a long life. Praise the Lord. However, because you have faith does not mean that you should live a reckless life. You say, after all, I have faith. Nothing will happen to me. That leads us to the second point, self-discipline and contentment. Self-discipline and contentment. A life of self-discipline promotes good health and vitality. A disciplined person controls himself or herself from doing things that affect his or her health. A lifestyle of contentment and discipline will boost your health and vitality. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, godliness and contentment is great gain. Godliness and contentment is what is great gain. But godliness with contentment is what is great gain. What do we mean by this? You have to be disciplined. A disciplined lifestyle promotes good health and vitality. A disciplined lifestyle. Don't waste away your body. This body is the house that God has provided for you. Hello? And it has a limit to what you can push it to do. So if you want wear it out recklessly, riotously, I tell you, it will shut down. And when it shuts down, you start having issues. And the medical people will be collecting your money and be buying good cars, building good houses, going on holidays and enjoying themselves. Fine. And the person will still be suffering. For example, you live a life of alcohol. You know, it always amazes me when smokers buy cigarettes and they see on it, smokers are liable to die young. And they still puff the thing. They still smoke the thing. I ask myself, they wrote on this thing, smokers are liable to die young. And you're still buying it. It doesn't mean that you want to die young. Foolishness. Lack of discipline. They can't control themselves. Brethren, a lifestyle that is reckless. Anything you do recklessly will affect you. Anything you do recklessly and excessively will affect you. If you sleep excessively, it will affect your body. You will be sick. You will be sick. That's the truth. My mom is close to 80 years old. And sometimes we tell her, Mama, don't do this, don't do that. She tell her, fresh exercise. Then she'll go and do the thing. Then she'll come back and say, my back is aching me. My leg is aching me. I said, but we told you. But if you stop her from doing those things, I tell you, the old woman will pack up quickly. That's the truth. So if you are the type that loves sleeping, I read something, somebody said something. He said, it's a visionless, he said, somebody that has so much interest in sleeping is a visionless person. And every visionless person is a motionless person. And that's the truth. Because if you have a vision, you must pursue it. Brethren, don't live a reckless life. Let your lifestyle be disciplined and be contented. You know, when you are not contented, that is when you chase after things. And when you chase after things, you grieve your soul, you grieve your body, you work yourself out. Content, be content with what God has given you. Lack of contentment brings apprehensions and discomfort, which will result in depression. Because when you pursue and you can't get, you become depressed. You are apprehensive, you're always worried. Another worst one is anger. You always get angry. Let me tell you this. Anger is one of the biggest killers. But people don't know. That's the truth. Bitterness. We'll see that when we move on. It's one of the biggest killers and people don't know. You just get angry. Any little thing, bah, you explode. Any little thing, bah, you explode. As you are exploding, your body is releasing adrenaline into your system. Bass. Like that. We just release it. Psh. The reason is so that to contain and balance the other hormone. And as it's releasing it, you are giving your liver and other things enough load for them to work and help you to push it out. And God help you, you are the type that doesn't detoxify. The old things start accumulating, and before you know it, you start having issues. Have you noticed that when you get angry, you start having headache? Or when you are bitter, you start having headache? Or when you are depressed? It's depressed people that have all sort of ailments. Don't be depressed. And when you are not contented with what God has given you, you are on your pathway to getting what the Lord does not want you to get, which is depression. Because you become apprehensive. And as you become apprehensive, you are moving towards depression. Praise the Lord. Our lifestyle should be a life that is full of faith, that is disciplined. You have to be disciplined. You must be able to control your appetite. Control what you eat. Don't just eat anything. You eat anything. I can eat anything. I love food. My hobby is eating. Fine, that's good. Keep eating. You eat yourself to death. You don't eat everything. It's not everything that is eatable. Hello? Not everything that is sweet, that is tasteful, is good. Not everything. Pork meat is tasteful. How many of you have eaten pork meat before? Be sincere. I've eaten plenty. It's good, but when you eat too much of it, it's not good. It builds up cholesterol. It takes about 4 days for your body to assimilate pork meat completely. Completely. Some of us like to eat meat. We'll pack meat. Pack. Red meat. Pack it. Say, munjaye. Okay. That's good. That's good. Discipline your appetite. Discipline your appetite. Your appetite for sex. Discipline it. Discipline your appetite. Jumping from one boy to one brother to one sister. Discipline yourself. Control that thing that wants to destroy you. Before the thing destroys you. Control it. Put it in order. Because in the place of moving up and down, you get STDs and things that are not supposed to be. Time will not permit me to go into the spiritual aspect, the spiritual contamination that happens. But even the physical pollution. Hey! Mercy, Lord. Number three. A lifestyle of joy and merry heart. Joyfulness imparts strength and health. I said that earlier. Don't be the type that is always moody. You are just moody. You are always getting angry. You are the type that don't forgive. Somebody has offended you. The person doesn't even know that he or she has offended you. Then you pack the offense inside you. It's like you are stabbing yourself. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart does good. Like what? Like medicine. A merry heart does good like what? Like medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. I love that part. I love it. You know what it means to dry bone? That's leukemia. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. The bone dries up. The person withers away. But a merry heart does good like medicine. Sincerely, when you relax, when you are merry, when you are full of joy, Your muscles are relaxed and your body is relaxed. There is also certain hormone that is released. And that hormone that is released when you are happy, you know what it does? It calms the nerves. It calms the nerves. And that is why when you are merry, you just see that you are energetic. You are full of life. Move away from anti-joy things around you. Joy killers. Move away from them. The devil afflicts his victims through this depression. And without joy, the joy of the Lord at work in your life, that person will wither like a flower. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. The book of Joel chapter 1 verse 12. Joel chapter 1 verse 12. When joy is seized away, the vine is dried up, the fig tree languished, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is what is withered away from the sons of men. Even the trees are responding to the joy of men. And it's true. It's very true. Very, very true. I read about a research where somebody, they planted two plants, and they made a pastor to come in the morning and bless one particular one, bless continuously, say good things, and then the other one keeps saying bad things, not to these beautiful flowers though. And after a while, they discover that the one that they are continuously blessing was growing and doing well. And the one, and they have the same condition, the same soil, the same manure, everything, from the same seedlings, everything the same way. The one that continually the man keeps showering bad things on start withering and becoming wretched and did not grow well. Brethren, these things are real. Don't allow anybody to steal your joy. There is no hope of total health for a person that goes into depression. To stay healthy, be merry, be excited, be full of enthusiasm, that is, be enthusiastic. And I want you to know that joy is not man-made. So man cannot kill your joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is not a fruit of man. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Joy is not the fruit of man. So man cannot steal your joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. So joy is not from man. If joy is from man, nobody will be joyful. When somebody is joyful, I say, they will collect it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter the circumstances around you, connect to God and His Word. Connect to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill your heart. Fill your heart with the joy of the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to take away your joy. Don't allow the enemy to take away your joy. Turn to your neighbor. Say, the enemy will not take away my joy. The book of Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16. Say something. It says, your words are found and I hate them. And your word was to me joy. Rejoicing of the heart. See, the words of God are found, were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was to me what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. That is the word of God, continual feeding on the word of God and fellowship with the Holy Ghost, but in you the joy of the Lord. From today, your joy shall be full in the name of Jesus. Your heart will be filled with the joy of God in the name of Jesus. I want you to note one thing. When Anna was begging and crying for a child, Anna did not have a Samuel until she became joyful. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible says she cleansed her face and her countenance was no longer what? No longer sad. She became happy. She was happy. Poor, like Pastor Ebenezer would say. Poor, she met with her husband and the thing jammed. And the door opened. Poor like that. And she started pumping babies. Po, 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 po. The babies were just coming like that. Praise the Lord. If after the man of God has blessed her and said, look, what you are requesting God has answered, the thing has been released like that. Now, for the thing to connect, for that prophecy to connect to her, joy must be found. If she was bitter, because the Spirit of God does not dwell in bitterness, the thing will come. Say, eh, I can't stay here. We'll look for perhaps Penina, rival. That one is just being happy. The thing will go to her, jump on her again. That one will just continue to pump babies. But she was joyful. The Bible says her countenance was no longer sad. And she received a miracle. I pray tonight you will receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Number four, right words. Right words. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Chapter 18, verse 21. The power of life and death are in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Can you see that? They that love it shall eat what? The fruit thereof. Now, it depends on the kind of fruit you want to eat. Either the fruit of death or the fruit of life. But I pray for you tonight, you will eat the fruit of life in the name of Jesus. Let your mouth be seasoned with good words. Don't be saying negative things. This is my headache. Who tell you it's your headache? As if you are the one that manufactured it. As if you have an assembly line of headache. It is our headache. It used to happen in our family. People, when they get to social age, they will have diabetic. Who tells you that you will have diabetic? Who says you will have diabetic? Somebody says, when it is social period, you will have cancer. You know, I watched a movie sometimes ago about a woman who was one of the people that really helped with knowing and finding cure to cancer. Many people say there is no cure to cancer. There is cure to cancer. I tell you that. There is cure in the blood of Jesus. There is cure in the blood of Jesus.